praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we honor you and thank you for this time together. We glorify you for your presence in this place and all that you're doing. And thank you for the move of the Spirit, the awakening, the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Greet somebody before you're seated. Love on someone this afternoon. Praise God. Well, it is so good to see you. Sister Gloria asked me if I would take this session today. She may be here in a little while. She's grading me, you know. I'm glad this is not my final. But anyway, so I'm going to be with you today. A couple of things I want to take care of before we get into the message, though. First of all, I want to welcome all of those that are watching from the top of the world to the bottom, all the way around. Welcome to Washington today. Praise God. Speaking about Washington, did anybody get to watch America Stands, election coverage in the spirit? Let me just soak that in for just a moment. That was, I don't know exactly how many hours that we were on the air, but it was, could you tell we had a great time? It was a lot of fun. And I think we're going to do a spinoff program called Barton and Bachman. I think that, weren't they amazing? Absolutely amazing. We were so grateful that for, well, all of the guests that came and that were with us for the America Stands, but especially for Michelle Bachman, who had been traveling the country for Mr. Trump, and then we were the last stop, and she told us, she said, I would not want to be any place else but right here during the election time. And David Barton, he canceled every other plan that he had to be with us. I'm so grateful. And for all of the people that agreed to interview with us, it really was a groundbreaking experience. I don't think there was any other full Christian election coverage out there for us to watch. It was encouraging to me, having Keith Butler and, of course, Brother Copeland on set with us. So I am so thankful for that opportunity that we had to do that. I'm so glad that you tuned in. Something else, too. All of our veterans, I want you to stand right now. All of our veterans. Come on, give them a big hand. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, let them know how much you appreciate what they do. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now, remain standing, remain standing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and honor you for these wonderful veterans and all that they have sown into this nation. And we praise you and honor you that you are enlarging their capacity to receive even more from you. And Lord, we pray for all veterans today and thank you. We thank you for the healing that is taking place, the miracles that are taking place where miracles need to take place. And Father, we pray right now for the moving of the Holy Spirit in the military. Lord, we praise you for an awakening. We praise you, Lord God, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit over our military, and thank you. Thank you that Jesus is Lord over our military. Lord, we praise you and honor you for these wonderful men and women. In Jesus' name, here and those that are watching us. Thank you, Father, for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give me another hand. Come on. Another hand. Praise God. And something very interesting that I wanted to let you know about. Today is the 396th anniversary of the Mayflower Compact. November the 11th of 1620, the United States of America was dedicated to the glory of God. What a day to remember, what a day we are in right now. I'm going to give you some information, first of all, about the message today, then I have something else I want to do. But of course, we have notes available to you online of today's service. I can't help myself. It is just so important that we get these into your hands. We have so many pastors and ministers that are preaching from the notes that Glory and I have done. We just wrapped up our 270th broadcast a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, and I'll be teaching you. We did it on the spirit of faith, the spirit of increase, rather. And that's what I'll be teaching you today, the spirit of increase. This is Increase Day. And we are pressing right up against 1 million downloads of those notes since she and I started together. And so here, if you want to follow me in today's message, you can go to emic.org/spirit of increase. emic.org/spirit of increase. Did we get that on the screen? Nope, not on the screen. Anyway, emic.org/spirit of increase. And that will be coming. You can follow the notes, or you can, when you get home, you can print them out. It's just important to me that you have these, that you follow along. And really what I've done is taken what Glory and I did in 10 days and just put it into a little bit more compact session for us because of the increase that is taking place. And we'll get more into that in just a moment. Next year is the 50th year of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Amen. Amen. I am grateful that I've been with this ministry for 40 of those 50 years. And so next year will be the 50th year. And I'm going to tell you something that we've been doing. This has been like a special project that I've had. And, you know, sometimes I wonder to myself, because as a pastor and doing everything that I'm doing, I'm like, what am I doing this for? And I know exactly why. But the Lord, when I first started in 1976, we were out at a place called Lake Arlington. We were in a much smaller, much, much smaller facility than we are right now. And Brother Copeland asked me to come that summer after I met Terry at ORU to start his in-house art department. I have a graphics background. And so he asked me to come and do that for him, and I did. And then they sent her back to school for another semester at ORU. They kept me. And while I was there, though, I found several boxes of what would be considered today archival material for the ministry. But the ministry was only, 11 years, 12 years old or so at the time that I came in. But I saw these boxes and I thought, well, they'll be important to us one day. So I carried those boxes with me. I carried them from Lake Arlington to another location that we had. We called it the Beach Street location, right outside of downtown Fort Worth. And then we were there for a while, and I eventually carried those boxes on to where we are at Eagle Mountain. Well, we were there. We moved in there in 1988. And at that time, I was publications director. No, 86. And then in 88, I became the executive director. I left publications, and I left my boxes behind. And so all these years have gone by, and I've wondered what happened to those boxes. But, you know, you get busy in ministry, and archive is sometimes the last thing that you think of. But the Lord really put it on my heart because of this 50th year that we needed to have an archive. Well, somebody called me one day and said, we want you to come down here to all of the, we have a part of the administrative building that is like in the belly of the ministry. And they took me back there, and there's just door after door after door after closet after closet after closet and room after room after room of stuff. And they took me into this one room, and they said, we think there's something here you might like to see. And I walked in, and there were my boxes. My boxes. And I started digging into those, and it's all the stuff that I had seen many years ago that I didn't know. Well, this started a chain reaction. And I went up to publications, and they had file cabinets of pictures. And I went over here, and they had pictures. And what we've done, bottom line is, in the Partner Service Center, they gave me an archive room. Archive room. And Sister Glory and I, the last time we taped together a few weeks ago, she invited me to lunch. I went to lunch there right at the Partner Center. And then I said, Gloria, come see the archive room. Okay, we went in there an hour and a half. It can be very addictive because, and we haven't totally organized it yet, but there's pictures, pictures, pictures of the ministry. And you're going to be seeing some of those pictures in the magazine, on television. We're planning on doing a commemorative issue of the Believer's Voice to Victory, pictures that you may have never seen before. And I brought a few with me today. Would you, Would you like to see some of the pictures from the archive? Okay. Guys, don't show the picture until I ask for it. I've got them in order, hopefully. But this first picture, and these are treasures. These are real treasures, because you've heard Brother Copeland talk about when he flew for Brother Roberts. Well, we found a picture of him. We found a picture of him. There it is. That is a picture of Brother Copeland standing in front of Oral Roberts' plane. That is in 1967. Can you see the luggage over there? I'm sure he was the one that loaded it on the plane. But that just really, doesn't that excite you to see what God did and how God was able to move in their lives and bring them to the place where they are? This 50 years ago, that picture was 50 years ago. The next one was a publicity, you can go ahead and put that up, the next one up there. This next one is a publicity picture of Kenneth Copeland. It was taken at ORU. If you could see actually the full frame of the picture, it has the original crop marks that they used for their first advertisements in ministry. But that was taken at Oral Roberts University. Then the next one, this is a picture. You've heard Brother Copeland talk before about when he was in Jamaica and there was a girl that was raised from the dead. There she is. There she is. I'll tell you, I found that somebody else had found boxes in the ministry, and I started digging into those boxes, and I found not just that one, but I found pictures from that whole trip. And I took that picture out, and I took a picture of it, sent it to Brother Copeland, and and I said, "Is this the girl that was raised from the dead?" And he, in capital letters, went, "Praise God." To have this picture, the Lord has been holding this in place for us for the 50th year. The next picture, I think you would really enjoy this one. Does anybody recognize who that person is on the right? Jerry Savelle. Jerry Savelle. Oh, and do we have the pictures of Jerry Savelle? Oh, my. Oh, Jerry Ann Savelle came over. We had a big meeting with a lot of the teams from the ministry, television, publications, and so forth, and the christening and the opening of our dedication of our archive. And so Jerry Ann Savelle came over there, and she's digging through, and she's seeing things, taking pictures of them. And I've got some very strict rules about that archive. Whenever they go in there to utilize a picture, they're going to scan it and leave it. And there are only about three keys out there. I got one. Anyway, and then finally, this is a favorite picture of mine. I found it the other day. It's a picture of Kenneth and Gloria. And that is Rachel Mayer, who is now married. Her husband is here. Caleb, are you in the building anywhere here? He's right outside the door anyway. That's Rachel. She now has two little children, Kate and little Kenneth. And that picture was taken, that side stage, I'm not sure, that may be Fort Worth, but those were some of the days when we used to do the opens and closes to the weekly broadcast right after Brother Copeland would speak. He would preach, go side stage, and then he would do the open and close to the broadcast right there, and that's what people would see. And so I wanted you to see that, and I especially wanted you to see that great picture of Gloria. Oh, we've got some amazing pictures of Gloria in there. So as the year goes on next year, it was really funny too, because I was with the publications director, the editor rather, and the art director, and we were standing together at a file cabinet, and I pulled out this picture, and it was a picture of Kenneth and Gloria. I didn't bring this one with me, but it was Kenneth and Gloria. The administrative building was being built. This is about 1985 or so, and it's just really a dramatic picture. Brother Copeland is pointing off in the distance. Gloria is looking up at him and smiling, and it was just a great picture, and the art director grabbed it out of my hand, and he said, "Page two." He needed it for the January issue of the magazine, and he saw his picture, page two. So like I said, we're going to be showing you some things and have wonderful, wonderful videos of things in the past. And just What an honor, what a joy, what a thrill, I must tell you, it has been and it still is to be associated with this ministry, to have Kenneth and Gloria Copeland as mentors in my life, being able to follow them all of these years and being taught and trained. And what a privilege it is to be able to minister the Word of God to you, for them to have the open door to give me to minister to you. I love pastoring the church. Terry and I just so enjoy what we do, and all of the extra things like Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts and America Stands. And the thing about the America Stands, this was interesting. TV crew was here, so the church did the production of America Stands. We had volunteers who run camera in church who were running camera that night. So I just like to brag about my guys. They're just so wonderful. So are you ready for the word today? Yeah. Well, let's pray again and we'll receive what the Lord has for us on this increased day. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for each and every one that is here. I thank you for the hunger that they have for the word. I thank you for your hunger that you have for us and your desire to see us prosper, to see us thrive, to see us increase and enlarge and multiply. And Father, we thank you and we honor you for this time today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, were you able to find the notes on emic.org? Spirit of increase. Let me raise your hand if you found them. I want to make sure they're out there. You got them. Okay. Same thing for you that are watching. Those are available to you. I want you to open your Bibles to the 115th Psalm, Psalm 115. And I want to talk to you today about something that is so powerful in my heart right now, something that the Lord just absolutely moved in us and on us in our church. And I'll share that with you in just a second. But this is our foundation scripture. And as I said before, in February, we will be airing the 10 days called The Spirit of Increase on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And you'll hear all about it then, but you're getting a sneak preview today. How about that? You get a sneak preview of this. But looking at our foundation scripture, the 115th Psalm, the 12th verse, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord. Say, I am blessed of the Lord. Which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. That 14th verse is really what we are looking at and studying about, and that is, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Terry and I had gone to, last year, a conference that Jesse Duplantis held called a visionary conference. Did anybody in here attend Jesse's visionary conference? It was really something. The atmosphere of increase was in the air. The atmosphere of prosperity and just enlarging your vision was there. And the longer we were there, the more the Spirit of God was just all over me, just talking to me and dealing with me about this scripture, which I'd already been meditating on. But just the fact of increase, supernatural increase, and the fact that he is wanting us to increase. He's wanting us to enlarge. He's wanting us to multiply. If I could start right now telling you the things that we're believing for and standing for at Eagle Mountain and at Fort Worth, the Kenneth Copeland Ministries there, and what God has put in our hearts about the revival capital of the world, and everything that is taking place there, and believing for multiple aircrafts and the equipment to do it, the buildings to house the people that are coming. You have to walk in a place of increase. You've got to enlarge your capacity to receive everything that God has for you. And I'm speaking today, how many pastors and ministers do I have in service with me? Raise your hands. This is going to be good for you today, because one of the things I'm going to do at the end is I'm going to lay hands on you for an impartation of increase, because it's in me. It's in me. It's on me. It's on this ministry. It's on our church. Our church has taken off. It's just taken off. And we've got the wildest things going on. We had a service a couple of weeks ago. It went until 3:30 in the afternoon. And the people didn't want to leave. They didn't want to go. The service was over, but they wanted to stay. I'm telling you, we are seeing a time where the supernatural increase of God is coming on us and coming on the body of Christ. And pastors are going to be saying things from their pulpit. They're going to be declaring things over this nation. They're going to be used mightily by God. And as Oral Roberts said, we will preach with fire in our bellies. It's time. It's time. But when we came back from that conference, Terry and I came home on a Saturday. Of course, we had church on Sunday. And that Sunday was April 17th, 2016, April 17th of this year. And it was a milestone day at Eagle Mountain International Church, and I'll tell you why. What I have done, and pastors, you'll be interested in this, in the day and age when we're trying to shorten our services, and you know me, you know what the Lord told us. He told us to take down the clock. About 2 years ago, we took down the clock. The Lord spoke that to me on a Saturday. He said, tomorrow, I want you to take down the clock. And we got into the service and I'd forgot to tell somebody about it. And right in the middle of worship, he said, I said, take down the clock. Yes, sir. So I walked up and I instructed the guys in the back. There's a big clock up there, round clock. And I instructed them to take it down. And it was like some kind of ceremony. They carried in a ladder. Somebody climbed up the ladder. They took down the clock. And the funny thing about it was that clock died two days later. And it has not worked since. Well, you know, we're not just trying to fill a lot of time and just say, well, we've had a long service. But on the other hand, I want to give the Holy Spirit time and space to do whatever He wants to do, however He wants to do it. And I'll tell you, when that clock came down, it really surprised me because I didn't realize what was going to happen to me. I felt such a freedom on the inside. I felt the wind of the Holy Spirit blow through me. I felt a lightness. I have been living by a clock since 1993 in church, doing church, and standing there looking at a clock and seeing that thing go, and you got 30 minutes of music, and then you've got 10 minutes of offering, and everything was timed. And when that clock came down, there was a new freedom that came into the church. And the Lord said, now I can tell you when your service is over. So we aren't trying to lengthen our services, but I'm endeavoring to hear from the Spirit of God. And the Lord reminded me of something that I used to do as a pastor, and I stopped doing it for time's sake. I mean, we've heard that before. Don't do this. Don't cut this out. Cut that out. Cut this out. Cut that out. Where the Lord is really... He wants more time. I mean, I won't get way over onto that, but he just wants more time. And I really do believe that there's going to be a day when our church services, they'll go on, some of them from Sunday morning into the evening, and nobody's going to move. No one's going to move. We're going to be so caught up in the glory of God. Well, one of the things that the Lord told me to do was He said, I want you to start bringing the offerings to the front again. Those offering baskets contain the precious tithes and giving of your people. He said, I want you to speak over it every single week. I want you to speak over their tithes. I want you to speak over their offerings. And so I had the guys bring the offering baskets as I had, and I don't know how long I had been doing it, but we've been doing it, and I usually step down the steps like this, and I'll speak over the offering. But that morning when I stepped down, the Lord took over. He took over the service. And you know, you can go back to the April 17th, 2016 service on emic.org, the archive. You can see it for yourself. You can see the very moment the Spirit of God came all over me and the message that I started preaching at that altar right there with those baskets became the message that day. Several of our pastors had words from the Lord. Terry came up, had words from the Lord. And at one point, she and I were talking at the same time. It was really stunning. And so we had the baskets in the front, and the Lord, the anointing just absolutely came down, and He started talking to us about increase. Increase. Supernatural increase. And He said to me, and I'll read it to you, it's in your notes. He said that morning, He declared it the day of increase. It was the day of increase. Say, the day of increase.
Day of increase.
And I'm standing in agreement with you right now that November the 11th, 2016 is your day of increase. It's your day of increase. Say, this is
my day
of increase. Everybody,
this is
my day
of increase.
You never forget this day. You never forget this day. This will be a milestone day in your life. When the Lord took over that service and called it the day of increase. And I'm telling you, pastors, our income has gone up. It'd take me a while to talk about just what we've been through and the things that have gone on. And, you know, people that have come and gone and kept going and kept leaving. And just some of the difficulties that we faced in ministry. And it really wasn't until I just completely yielded myself to the Holy Spirit that things started to change. Pastors, we are too much trying to be like the trend. And the Spirit of God is wanting the Holy Ghost to move. He's wanting the Holy Spirit to move. And I so appreciate what he did that morning, because had I left off that the bringing the baskets forward, I mean, it was a setup. God had a setup right there so that he could bring the day of increase to us. And the Lord said, this is a new day. This is a new hour. Supernatural breakthroughs in the financial realm are taking place right now. And I sense the same anointing right here. Financial breakthroughs in the supernatural breakthroughs in the financial realm are taking place right now. It's all over me. I sense it. I sense the same anointing. I sense the same fire on the inside. And then this is what I said. This is what I said. The Spirit of increase is on me and with me. The Spirit of increase is working in me. Everything I set my hands to do is prospering. The Spirit of increase is on this church. We are increasing. We are enlarging. We are multiplying. And then the Lord said, he said, I want you to release the Spirit of increase over the congregation. That's what's happening right now. The Spirit of increase is being released over this congregation. Spirit of increase is being released over you, wherever you are right now. That spirit of the same spirit of increase is being released over you. And I'll tell you, and this is how I'm going to handle, how the Lord wants me to handle this today. But I'm going to lay hands on some folks, and the first group of folks will be the pastors and the ministers. I'm going to lay hands on you for the impartation of the Spirit of increase. Then I'm going to do something very interesting. I'm going to lay hands on everybody in here. And what we're going to do, what we will do after I lay hands on the pastors is you'll do it just the way Jesse did it in that meeting. And you'll just walk by and I will lay my hands on you. And we'll just keep a steady stream to receive the impartation of the Spirit of increase. I see you up there too. There you go. There you go. Okay. So, I'm talking to pastors as much as I'm talking to the congregation that is here, because these just things just keep bubbling up in me. But as a pastor, I have a right to do that for my congregation. I am their man of God. Terry and I are their spiritual parents. And we have the anointing and the ability and the release from heaven to speak that over our congregation and to make declarations over their prosperity and over their lives and over their future. We have a right to do that. Let me just read this scripture to you. Jeremiah 23:4 says, I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. See, that's what our responsibility is, ministers, pastors, to feed them and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Amen. So I had every right that morning in April to go before my congregation and being led by the Spirit of God to release the spirit of increase over that congregation. And we've gotten testimony after testimony. We've increased every day since that time. We have increased every day from that time. Things are just, things are opening up. Things are, we're just seeing things left and right taking place. And you know, those of you that were watching the election coverage in the Spirit of Faith, do you know that those studios were actually in the children's wing? We converted the children's rooms into, we called it Studio City. One of my associate pastors and I, our executive pastor and I, were walking through as everybody was setting up, and we looked over here and there's the news deck, and we looked down there and there's the set that we were on. And he and I looked at each other. I said, it's EMIC Studio City. Well, the Lord is wanting us to increase our vision. He's wanting us, pastors, ministers, to increase our vision. There are things that the United States government is doing that they have no business doing. That's the job of the church. And the amazing thing about this election coverage was God was waiting for somebody to do this, to pioneer this, and to break barriers so that we don't have to leave it up to Fox or CNN or MSNBC or anybody else, but we need to venture out into those areas that the world has had a stronghold on, break through it, and start doing those things. But I'll tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take the spirit of increase on us to get this done. What is it going to take? It's going to take us becoming increase-minded. You remember Brother Copeland talking about being God inside minded. Well, the Lord spoke to me and said, we need to become increase minded. We need to increase our capacity to receive everything that God wants to do. Do you think as a church we have done everything that He wants? We've gone out into every venture that He wants done? No, no. And I really do, after this election, right before it, there was just such a sense of emboldenedness from our platform, our pulpit, telling things to our congregation that a few years ago, we would be real cautious about it because of what the IRS must say. But I believe it's not just me. I believe there's been a breakthrough in the body of Christ. There's been a breakthrough in the body of Christ that we have come back to where our founding fathers and the founding nation was, to the time of the black-robed regimen, where those pastors would get up and they would preach and there would be politicians sitting there in the congregations listening to what they are saying. And I do see a time. I do see a time. I've said this for a long time. But there's going to be prayer in the House of Representatives. We're going to see them lifting their hands before the Lord, crying out to God. We're going to see it in the Senate. We're going to see it take place in the Senate. We're going to see senators lift it because they have no other place to turn but Him. Prayer is going to be seen, heard, and demonstrated in the Oval Office. I'm telling you the truth. Some of you that are still wondering about Donald Trump and all of that, some of the things. Now, let me just, George, are you really? Yeah, I guess, but look at the platform. Look at the platform. On that platform, they talked about reversing Roe versus Wade. On that platform, they talked about getting rid of the Johnson Amendment. On that platform, they talked about marriage being between a man and a woman. Now, it's our job to respectfully hold their feet to the fire. They've got the House. They've got the Senate. They've got the White House. Now the work begins. And the Lord has called us in our church. We are called to a continual place of prayer. I'm telling you, folks, we had 48 hours of prayer at Eagle Mountain Church before this election. They got in there and our congregation faithfully came 48 hours straight. But the Lord has told me, he said, you're going to have to continue this. You don't end this now. This is where it begins. This is where it starts. This is where it starts. And where Mr. Trump is concerned, and I know that James Robison has shared this, but James Robison spent time with Donald Trump 2 weeks before the election, spoke the word of God to him, took him by the shoulders like this. James Robison towers over everybody, so it was more like that. Led this man in a confession of faith. It's public, he's told it. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland sit on the advisory board for Donald Trump. And the Lord, I was praying earlier today about this, and the Lord has just really has been correcting me and adjusting my thinking about some things. And I did this a few months ago, and I asked his forgiveness for not praying, the church not praying for the president like we should. And for the Senate and for the House and all of that, and just stood around and griped and complained about a bunch of do-nothings, doing nothing. And God, forgive us for that. Forgive us for that. Forgive us for that, because everything that's taken place in Washington, we don't lay it at the feet of the politicians, we lay it at the feet of the church. It's us. We have the authority. So God has forgiven us, we've repented, and we're going to do it different this time. We're going to do it different this time. And as for me and my church, we have a prayer initiative over our nation. We're not going to say, oh, election is over. No, we got to stay on top of this thing. And see to it that Roe v. Wade is reversed. And see to it that these things happen. We have to be increase-minded. All that to say that, especially to my pastors here, we are being called to higher places. Higher places, higher responsibilities, to where the church is indeed a force to be reckoned with. And the Lord is calling us to that higher place. And we've got to do it in every realm, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, politically, in every realm, that the voice of the church is heard. And I'll tell you, I've been going back. There's a team that is going through the video archives of the ministry. And they're digitalizing it so that we're able to keep them. And every so often, they'll send me transcripts of things that they feel like I'll be interested in. And in 1995 and 1996, Sister Gloria gave a word about healing services in churches 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Some of the pastors just went, no, really? She says, you're going to have shifts. She said, you're going to have shifts. So what are we doing? We're enlarging our capacity. We're enlarging our capacity. If we've got places like Walmart that can stay open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, why can't the church? What would it be like? What would it be like right now with this place totally full and people lined up to the street outside? What would that be like? That day's coming. That day's coming. The spirit of increase. The spirit of increase. And we've got to become increase-minded. In Romans 12, 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of our minds. My mind is still being renewed. You know, people come out to Kenneth Copeland Ministries and they see how big it is and all that's taking place. But I was there when I came in 1976, there were only 12 of us on staff. There's now about 430 or so on staff. But the Lord keeps telling me, he said, what you are seeing right now is like what you were seeing when you first came, because the future of this ministry is even going to be bigger than that. See, the Lord wants your churches to get gigantic and huge. Your influence, your businesses. Anybody got a business in here? Spirit of increase on you right now. Right now. And there are some of you that God wants you to take over the businesses that you are already in, that you are working for. promotion, supernatural promotion. I just really sense that heaven's dump truck just backed up to us, and the windows of heaven are open. But we have to get our minds renewed to this. And you do it you got to become totally immersed in the word concerning this, concerning the prosperity that God desires for us to walk in. And the first thing we have to do is to realize that increase was God's original plan for man. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Genesis chapter 1, increase was God's original plan for man. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. Oh, you've heard Brother Copeland talking about the blessing. We've learned about the blessing. There was a release that took place, an empowerment that took place over man. God blessed them, and he said to them, these being God's first words, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God's first words over man were the blessing. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion over it. When it's talking about subduing it, if it gets out of line, you put it back. May I say this? If Washington gets out of line, you put it back. You put it back. The same thing for the church. Church gets out of line, we got to get back in line. We've got to be back in line with him. But God's first words over man were the blessing. And I found that in the Hebrew, the word multiply, of those words, be fruitful, multiply, the word multiply in the Hebrew is the word increase. Say increase.
Increase.
That's what it means. He was telling his man to increase. Increase. God's original intent for mankind was to live in a constant state of the spirit of increase. Constant. A constant state of the spirit of increase. And this blessing, as we find in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Say,
the blessing
is on me.
And it makes me rich.
According to this scripture here, rich is not a dirty word. It's how you handle it. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is at the root of all evil. And so this spirit of increase, it was supposed to be perpetual. It was to be perpetual. It would go from one generation to the next. I'll give you several scriptures. Genesis 9:1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply," or increase, "and replenish the earth." So it went on with Noah. Then to Abram in Genesis 12:2, "I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you with an abundant increase of favors." Abundant increase. Say increase.
Increase.
Increase of favor. I believe favor is increasing on you. Thank God for the message that Jerry Savelle has brought to the body of Christ. Favor.
Favor.
The favor of God.
Favor.
You have the favor of God everywhere you go. You have an increase of the favor of God. With increase of the favor of God, doors are opening for you all the time. You are stepping through some of the most amazing doors that you have ever stepped through. Well, as you walk in that increase, the increase of favor, you have favor with people who are even against you. You have favor with people who have no desire to be around you, but there's something on the inside of them. There's someone on the inside of them that's just saying, "Well, help them out. Help them out. Help them out." Say,
I've got favor.
And it's increasing.
Every day.
The Lord said, "I'll make your name famous and distinguished, and you'll be a blessing dispensing good to others." See, the spirit of increase was perpetual. We find in Genesis 26, 12 and 13, Isaac planted crops in that land and in the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Very wealthy. One translation talks about it happened quickly. His wealth grew quickly. I believe today that I'm talking to a group of people who are extremely wealthy and your wealth is continuing to grow. Say, I take that, Pastor George. I receive that, Pastor George. I remember Brother Copeland saying to us, any one department at Kenneth Copeland Ministries could believe God for the budget for the entire year. Well, you got the church department right here with our faith out there for that. We're believing. I want money and I want lots of it because I got things to do. There are things to do. There are airplanes to buy. There are people to feed. There are things that need to be done. And I believe that money cometh to us now. I say, money cometh to me now. Money cometh to me now. Money cometh to me now. The spirit of increase is perpetual. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Turn quickly to Galatians chapter 3. It's perpetual. It's perpetual. In other words, it is not designed to stop. It's not designed to stop. The only thing that will stop it is a group of people who won't believe it. A group of people who won't accept it. A group of people who will not take the time that it takes to be increase-minded. To be increase-minded to such a place where you can't even think lack. You can't even think that way. Your mind is so renewed to this. Your mind is so alive to this that all you see is increase in your life. All you see is Him loading you with the daily benefits every day, every day, every day. Some people think when some people receive a lot of money, for instance, and they think to themselves, well, that's the blessing for the year. No, 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 that's the blessing of the hour. There's another hour coming and another hour coming and another hour coming. Stop limiting God. Stop limiting Him. I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm telling you, stop limiting Him. Stop holding back on what He wants to do. What He wants to see. I mean, I'm thinking about my own church. And with this, what we have been doing, some of the things with television that we've been doing, that we really do have an Eagle Mountain International Church production company. There's so much television that has to be done that we need multiple groups doing it. And I could see a television production building out there. I see it done. I see a healing and miracle and prayer center out there. I see it. I see a facility that'll fit 10,000 people and then a facility built onto that, 50,000 people. Brother Copeland came back. I'm telling you why I have to increase. I have to increase for job security here because I do. This is in 2015. Terry and I had taken a little bit of time away. We went to Orlando for a few days and we took a couple of days off there. And the morning we were coming back, we were packing. And I remembered that Brother Copeland that morning was preaching at Rhema Church in South Africa, Pastor Ray McCauley's church in South Africa. And I heard that it was going to be streamed live from Pastor Ray's church. So I thought, well, I just got on my phone and I started working with it. And I pulled in. I feel like I'm talking like shortwave radio, but it was actually. So I got it. But I got it just in time to hear this. Okay, talk about divine appointments. Okay, are you ready? This is what I heard Brother Copeland saying. Brother Copeland had just been at Pastor David Iyedepo's church, right? He was with him for all the thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And I heard Brother Copeland say this, of all the times and all the places I could have tuned in, I tuned in and heard him say, quote, they are running 200,000 on Sunday morning. They have four services in a building that seats 54,000, which you know it's increased by now. He said, I'm going to get me one of them. And he said, I'm not just talking. He said, I've got my faith on the line. Glory be to God. He said, Eagle Mountain International Church is headed towards a 50,000 seat auditorium with a 100,000 member congregation. And we will have it very soon. And then he said, and this is one of the reasons why, Philippians 4:19, but my God, and I heard that. That's all I heard. From that point on, that's all I heard. But our faith, you see why increase is so important to me. You see why it's so important to God. He wants it. He wants every church represented here and every pastor represented here walking in a place of such increase in their congregations, in their life. And it's not, has nothing to do with puffing ourselves up. No, not at all. Not at all. Dr. David Cho, David Yonggi Cho, pastors the largest church in the world. The man is the most humble man that you can meet. So it's not about, look what I've done, look what I've created, but it's totally about obeying God. And I'm telling you, I have God is my father. He's also my father-in-law. Kenneth is my father, and he's my father-in-law, Terry's father. But he has expectations of me as a son-in-law. Take care of my daughter. Watch over my daughter. And I take those commands like I just told you. See, the Lord is wanting, I'm stumbling over this one, but I'll be right with you. Hold on. Okay. I remember the day that I was on the broadcast. Maybe you remember that fateful day as well. That was the day that I went in there and Terry and I had given a house. Then we borrowed the money to get into another house. And I was on the broadcast with him and I wanted to talk about living debt free. And that was the day that he asked me the question, you were in a house, you gave a house, then you borrowed for a house. He said, why did you borrow the money to do that? And all I could think to myself was, this is really helping me. This is helping me. This is good. This is good for me. In front of the world, I'm getting a little correction here. But what was, and he told me later, he said, the Lord told me to ask you that. I'm like, it was you. But I'll tell you, that day, it launched my faith. There was such a determination to get out of debt. And we walked that out. Terry and I walked that out together. And I can tell you today, Terry and I are debt-free, living a debt-free home. But you have to get serious about this. We had to get serious about it in a joyful way. That's serious in a joyful way. But you do. If these things that God is wanting us to press into, what you are coming up against is the religious mindset, the tradition mindset that tells people they can't have, they can't do, you know, and then get criticized, persecuted over having an aircraft or having whatever it is. But I'm telling you, God wants us to walk in all of that. He wants the spirit of increase. He wants it perpetuated. And he's been talking to me lately, I'd say these last few years, the Lord has been talking to me harder and harder. Seems like the older I get, the more he talks harder to me about things. It's like when I was in South Africa, and this really first happened in South Africa in 2014. I was getting ready to minister to a group of pastors and ministers the next day. We'd been there for 2 weeks. This was the last meeting that we were going to have, 2-day meeting with pastors. I brought all my pastors' notes with me, but none of them. They had just all just, that I was looking at them the night before, and it's like nothing was making sense to me. And I said, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to tell these people? And he talked to me in a voice like when I was executive director, Brother Copeland would call me on the phone. He'd say, George, why are you? And then he's talking about something that's going on in the ministry that he doesn't like. And he didn't give me the opportunity to answer the question. He just went on telling me what he wanted. Why was a rhetorical question? And he gave me the answer of what he wanted. Well, the Lord's doing me that way. And he said to me in August of 2014, he said that night to me, he said, I want my church back. I want my church back. I'm like, ooh, okay. You want me to resign? What do you want me to do? He said, I want my church back. He said, I want signs, wonders, miracles reintroduced to my church again. I want the move of God in my church. I want the gifts of the Spirit back in my church in full force. He said, I do not want them hid back behind the platform somewhere. He said, I don't want them in one service in a whole year. I want them to be a regular part of your service. And he might as well have said, do you hear what I'm saying? What is he doing? He's pressing us. He's pressing us. Brother Copeland has pressed me, but it's been good because it's helped me. Well, the Lord is pressing us. And he's telling us, he's saying, I want you to believe for the spirit of increase on your life. And really to get past the point of just having the stuff that you need, get onto the point where you're starting to buy people cars. Have you believed God for that yet? Have you believed God to pay off somebody's house? Have you believed God to pay off houses? Have you believed God? Have you believed God to help your church and bring thousands and thousands and thousands into the church yet? Got a little ways to go, but we're getting there. We're getting there. We're increasing. I shook hands the other day for the first time in my life with a trillionaire. When I wanted to shake his hand, I held his hand extra long. I was like, I was pulling on that anointing. Increase, increase, increase. Where were we? Galatians chapter 3. It says in Galatians 3, and verse 29, it says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The same spirit of increase that was upon Adam, that was upon Noah, that was upon Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, and on up through Jesus is on us today. It has not diminished. Do you hear me? It is not diminished. The wealth of Solomon should be small compared to the kind of increase that you and I are walking in. We should be walking in an even greater degree of the spirit of increase because our covenant is a better covenant founded upon better promises. Hebrews 8:6. Spirit of increase. Spirit of increase. Look at 3 John 2. Turn over there. 3 John 2. And let me just read this to you. The Lord wants us to increase in every area of our lives. Everything. Everything. To increase in everything. And a couple of scriptures that I had found, we talk about these on the broadcast. Isaiah 9:7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. There's no increase to God, no end to the increase of God. There's no increase to how the kingdom operates. He is working with us and wanting us to come up to higher and higher places. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the increase. He is all about increasing, adding to, and multiplying us in every area of our lives. He is all about multiplying the anointing in our lives. He is all about increasing the financial income, increasing a spirit, spiritually, spiritual increase. We should be increasing spiritually. Revelation should be flowing. And I'll tell you something that Brother Copeland has been sharing about how pastors can preach on the same level, preach revelation on the same level as a prophet. Pastors, you can preach, any minister, but pastors especially, you can preach revelation from the Word of God on the level of a prophet. You know I took that one. You know I took that one. Because it's come to the point now that I'll tell you what my preparation days are like. I go into my study and I say, Lord, what do you want to say through me tomorrow? What word from heaven do you have? I'm not looking for some kind of clever title. I'm not looking for some kind of clever thing. I am looking for the pure word of the Lord so that I, as a pastor, can go into my congregation and be the prophet for them at that moment. I want the increase of the anointing. I want to see more demonstrations of miracles in our services. I want to see the fullness of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit in full operation. The power gifts, the gift of faith, the gifts of healings, the working of miracles. And then tongues and interpretation and prophecy and the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and the discerning of spirits. I want increase. Increase. And we've made some strides in our church. We've made some strides. We've made some progress in that area, but I want increase. I want increase. And I'm telling you, if it takes all day and all night to have a service, well, bless God, that's what we will do. To do what He wants to do. As I said before, I'm not looking for an 8 or 10 hour service, just chalk it up on the board, but I am looking for that move of God. Oh, that move of the Spirit of God. I don't know, we were in Branson, Missouri, and on it was the Sunday night. Well, actually, it was the Sunday afternoon service at Billy Brim's Autumn Assembly. And they called a small group of us up to the platform where we sat as a panel together. And Brother Copeland began to speak. And he spoke for 6 hours and 15 minutes. We took a little break. And then we came back. 6 hours and 15 minutes. And there were some people that had to leave. Some people, we started that portion of the service. It was like 3:30 in the afternoon. And it was, after 10 o'clock, I forgot what time we got out of there, but it was amazing. It was amazing. And I really believe that he broke through something that night. A barrier, barriers, barriers. We're breaking through barriers. You're breaking through barriers. When your mind is renewed to increase, you are breaking through such limitation barriers, such holdback barriers. I would dare say that God wants every pastor on television preaching the Word of God. Break through that barrier. Break through that limitation. He wants us to increase in everything, everything. And in 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now listen to what the Amplified says. I pray that you may prosper in every way. Say, I'm prospering,
I'm prospering.
In every way.
In every way.
Spirit.
Spirit.
Soul.
Soul.
Body.
Body.
Financially.
Finance.
In every way. The Williams translation says, in all respects, I am prospering in every way and in all respects. I'm increasing in every way, increasing in every way. And the spirit of increase, it covers everything. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given us all things. Say all things.
All things.
All things that pertain to life and godliness. Look at Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 9:9, it says, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. Prosper in all that you do. The spirit of increase covers everything. Everything. You're prospering. You're prospering spiritually. You're prospering in your soul. What does it mean to prosper and increase? Increase in your soul. When you're increasing in the realm of the mind and the will and the emotions, you are more submitted to the will of God. Your emotions are more under control. I'm telling you, walking in a place that you've never, walking in joy that you have never walked in before, increase of joy. I said increase of joy. Increase in every single realm. And I'll read this scripture to you, Genesis 24, 1. It says, the Lord has blessed Abraham in all things. Say, the Lord has blessed me. The Lord is increasing me in all things. And I like the Message translation. It says, and in every way, we are increasing. We are increasing. Turn to Psalm 1. Look at Psalm 1. It is the will of God for us to increase in everything. In Psalm 1, listen to what it says. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. This is the way that you operate in the spirit of increase. You don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't stand in the path of sinners. You don't sit in the seat of the scornful, but your delight is in the word of God. My delight is in the word of God. And in that word does he meditate day and night. That's what God told Joshua. Meditate in my word day and night, and you will have success in everything that you do. Brother Hagin says that some of the most spiritual people that he's ever met are the ones that take time to meditate the word, to think about the word and think about how that word applies to me. How does this apply to me? You take a message like this, you go back, you listen to it, say, how does the spirit of increase apply to me? To me. I've seen where Pastor George has enjoyed it and Brother Copeland has enjoyed it, but how can I enjoy this? How can I walk in this? Show me, Lord. Show me what I need to do to break through. And it says here, he shall be like a tree. This is the result. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now, you can actually say there, whatever he does will increase, because prosperity is increase. Whatever you do will increase. Whatever you set your hand to do will increase. And as a tither, you need to declare tithers' rights, because you have every right. That tithe protects your money. If the devil has tried to steal money from you because of investments that you made and you are a tither, you call that back in sevenfold in Jesus' name. Harvest! Harvest! I'll tell you, that's what this is all about. It's all about harvest. It's all about the harvest coming to us. How do you reap your harvest? You call it in. You call it in. You call that in. You've got a mighty harvest out there. Get out there and reap. Pastor, how do I reap? You call it in. Say, harvest.
Harvest.
I command you. Come to me now. Harvesting angels. Go out there.
Bring it to me.
In Jesus' name. So we're to increase. We're to increase financially. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, we are to increase financially. It is beyond a shadow of a doubt God's will and purpose for you to increase. Say, I'm increasing.
I'm increasing.
I'm increasing. I'm increasing. Bills are being paid right now. Debts being removed in the name of Jesus. Supernatural. It's happening. In the Amplified Translation of Proverbs 11, it says in verse 24, there are those who generously scatter abroad and yet increase more. So our giving and our tithing has everything to do with it, has everything to do with the increase. But you've got a harvest out there, and you need to call that harvest in. You need to command it to come in. It says those that withhold more than is fitting or what is justly due, but it results only in want. The liberal person shall be enriched, and he who waters shall himself be watered. So, as it says in the King James, there's he that scattereth and yet increases. Increase. Supernatural increase. Financial increase includes all bills paid. All bills paid. In full. It includes all debts removed. All debts.
All debts.
Much left over. And it includes something here, and I'm gonna start to wrap it up with this. It includes supernatural wealth transfer. How is increase going to come? Well, that's one way. And the Lord has just really had me thinking about wealth transfer, working on that, just working on it, just working on that wealth transfer. This wealth transfer, that's part of our harvest. It belongs to us. There are a number of scriptures that talk about the wealth of the wicked being laid up for the just, just to name one. And the Lord is designing for us this increase. It's going to come. It's going to come in so many different ways, but supernatural wealth transfer is one of those ways. And I'm declaring that over you right now. Wealth transfer. Wealth transfer. Inheritances that you did not even realize. You did not know you had a relative with so much money. Woo! See, it would do you really good, especially pastors, to sit in a room by yourself and meditate on just how many ways God wants to increase you. How He wants to increase you. I'll tell you, in my life, my vision, when I first came to Kenneth Copeland Ministries, I had a vision of what I was going to do in my life. But once I got in here, my vision got absorbed by this one. This was so much bigger, so much bigger. And everything that I've ever desired to do in that original vision, I've done it a long time ago. I've gone exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that I could dare ask or think from God. And that's the place He wants you to live in. He wants you to live in the exceeding, in the abundantly, far above, far beyond all that you dare ask or think, according to the power of increase that is working on the inside of you. Say, the power of increase,
power of increase
is working in me.
Right now.
I want to read a couple of things to you, and then in a few minutes we'll prepare to lay hands. Increase through wealth transfer. Increase through wealth transfer. Let me read a portion of a word from the Lord given by Charles Capps, February the 1st, 1978. And you have to contend for these prophetic words. You can't let them sit on a shelf and think, well, one day they'll happen. One day they'll happen. Uh-uh. You got to keep them alive. You got to keep them alive in your heart. This is 1978 that we're talking about here, and this word is still alive. Financial inversion shall increase in these days. It'll increase. Financial inversion will increase. For you see, it is my desire to move in the realm of your financial prosperity. There's coming a financial inversion in the world's system. It's been held in reservoirs of wicked men for days on end, but the end is nigh. Those reservoirs shall be tapped and shall be drained into the gospel of Jesus Christ. It will be done in the time allotted, and so shall it be that the word of the Lord shall come to pass, that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I'm tapping into those reservoirs right now. The time is now. The time is now for every prophecy to be fulfilled. The time is now for everything that has been declared. The glory is not coming. The glory is here. Yeah. The outpouring of the Spirit is not coming. The outpouring is here. Yeah. The awakening is not coming. The awakening is here. Yeah. And the time of wealth transfer has come. Yeah. And it's about time that we take it by faith. Yeah. I'm taking this. I'm taking this. I'm taking this. Stuff. You need stuff in the ministry. Airplanes. I see them landing. I see airplanes landing out at our place. And somebody getting out and saying, my boss just told me to fly this airplane here and leave it. See, that's the kind of thing you need to meditate on. That's the kind of thing you need to enlarge. You need to enlarge your capacity to receive and take the limitations off. Here's a word from the Lord, March the 8th, 2012, from Brother Copeland. The largest, most significant transfer of property, goods, wealth, and people from the hands of the devil into the hands of God's people who are prepared to receive it. And the biggest transfer of property in the history of mankind has just begun, and it's moved over into its final stage. This is 2012. It's moved over into its final stage. Those who will listen to me and follow me, trust me, talking about the Lord, those who I have taught my word and have given the authority to walk in these things, it is the most outstanding thing that human eyes have ever seen. The time is now. Your time has come. I'm taking that now. I'm taking it now. It says, he's talking about the largest. When you add the EST on the end of that large, that's about as big as you can possibly get. The largest. I use this word cautiously, but that trumps all other things. So the largest, most significant transfer of property. How many of you are believing for property? Come on. Oh, man. This is the time. Property, goods, wealth, and people from the hands of the devil into the hands of God's people. Now listen to this. Who are prepared to receive it? We've got to get prepared. That's what I'm doing with Eagle Mountain right now. We are preparing. We are actively preparing for the first 10,000 people that are coming. I've got my staff. I've got my folks working on the systems that are going to take to handle people. And we see it. We see it happening. We have to prepare. And that's what I have read in all of these words. I carry this big giant notebook around with me, but it contains a lot of these prophetic words from times past about the glory and where we are and about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit from Brother Copeland, Brother Hagin, from Smith Wigglesworth, from others that have made this declaration. There's a time coming. There's a time coming. There's a time coming where there'll be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it will be the greatest outpouring that there ever has been. And there will be no ebb. There will be no decline. And it will usher in the coming of the Lord Jesus. But in all of these words that I've read, it says, get your people ready. Get your people ready. Get your people ready. And I know I've had to repent before the Lord because we've had people prophesy to us about Eagle Mountain Church and about the ministry. And I want to take just a minute to tell you this. This is a vision that Brother Copeland had. I don't know how much you've heard about this. I don't know how much you've been told about this. But it was in 1970 when Brother Copeland was flying home from a meeting. He was in the cockpit of his airplane. Where else? There was a voice that came over the radio that said, coming to you from the revival capital of the world. Brother Copeland thought to himself, the revival capital of the world. I've heard of the entertainment capital of the world, that's Hollywood. I've heard of the political capital of the world, that's Washington. But where is the revival capital of the world? There was no answer until 1973. And he and Gloria heard about a piece of property outside of Fort Worth, out at Eagle Mountain Lake. And he went out there to check it out with her one day. He stepped onto the property. And the moment he stepped onto the property, he heard the voice of the Lord say, this is the revival capital of the world, and you are going to build it. And he told the Lord, he committed to the Lord that day, I commit to do this in the name of Jesus. I will do this. And the Lord spoke to him and said, you build it and they will come. You build it and they will come. Well, when I came on board in 1976, I hadn't really heard about that vision till a few years later when the Lord stirred Brother Copeland up with that vision again. And as the artist, he sat down with me one day and he gave me the whole vision. That's why I know it. Because he had me produce a brochure about this big of the revival capital of the world. He was going to take it to the next meeting and present it to the people. And so I did that. I wrote the copy for it. I got the illustrators to illustrate all the different things that he was going to do, that the Lord showed him that was going to take place. Had this thing printed up, sent it with him on the road, and that was the last time we heard of it. And I don't even know, I'd have to ask him, but I don't know if he even brought it up during that meeting. He did say something, though. He said people would call it that. He said he wouldn't call it that, but people would call it that. Well, I'm a people. I'm a people. And so what happened was in 1979, this vision was just kind of buried. It just went silent. It went underground. And I kept one of those brochures with me. I wish I brought one with me today. I've got a copy of it, but a printed copy, but I kept it with me because I knew one day this was going to happen. And I kept it all during the 80s. Every time we'd move offices, I'd take my copy with me. And we move into a new office, and I put it down on my desk. And we move offices again, I take my copy with me. And then I put it down on my desk, and I just kept it with me. And when we started pastoring the church in 1993, by that time, though, it had moved from my desk kind of up on a shelf. And I wasn't looking at it as much anymore. And all we were doing in the 80s and the 90s is going on television. This ministry was growing. We were teaching faith. It seemed like that time has gone by just like that. Into the 21st century we go. And all of a sudden, this was 1996. There was a pastor about 5 miles down the road from us, pastoring a Baptist church, Jesse McElreath. And Jesse McElreath came to me one day. This was in 1995. He actually sent me a letter. I still have it. I got it in my book right here. And he sent a letter. And he basically said that there were thousands and thousands of people that were going to be coming out there. They were going to be coming to hear the word. He said there would be a tower out there beaming signals to the entire world. And he went on with this vision that he had. The Lord, he was under the power of God all morning in his office before the Wednesday night service that he had. And this is what the Lord was showing him. And he gave me that vision. And the years would go by. And I would think about that vision. I got so busy with church, and I got so busy doing church, and I got so busy at one point in church watching people leave our church. I didn't think people left church. I mean, when I was growing up, you didn't leave church. You just stayed with your church. And this was a new thing. This was a new thing for me. And so we got into that, and we started getting caught up, and not totally, but we just started getting caught up and looking at what that church is doing and what that church is doing, and didn't take the time to look at what the vision was on the inside. And Jesse McElreath gave this to me, and I thought that was wonderful, and I just started waiting for it. Time would go by. But this old prophet, Jesse McElreath, he's still alive today. He wouldn't let go. The man wouldn't let go. Our kids went to the same school where the church was that they had. And every time I'd go over there to the school when Jeremy and Aubrey were in school, I'd go to functions, I'd go to basketball games, I'd go to cheerleading, I'd go to presentations, all kinds of things. Jesse McElreath had come up to me and he said, there's a move coming. And there are people that are going to come from all over the world. People are going to come on that property. And you know, he would not let go of that vision. And I almost got agitated with him about it because I got to the point where I thought, well, this is never going to happen. And that's terrible. Where's the spirit of increase in that? This is never going to happen. Where's my faith in that? And just got discouraged with it. But he kept that fire lit. Then others started giving the same word about it. They kept that fire lit. And I'd hear about it. And one day we had a local gathering of pastors. And we were in a restaurant together. There were probably 30 of us there. And Jesse McElreath was there too. And so this pastor that headed it up, he said, why don't we all go around the room, introduce ourselves, and tell a little bit about your church? So we're going from person to person, and everybody's being real humble. I'm pastor so-and-so, and I pastor such-and-such church, and we're over in this part of town. And nobody's really telling much about their church. Comes around to me, I'm Pastor George Pearson's. I pastor Eagle Mountain International Church. And that was about it. And it got to Jesse McElreath. By that time, he was the associate pastor of Lake Country Church. And he said, I'm Pastor Jesse McElreath. I am the associate pastor at Lake Country Church. And there's a move of God coming to Eagle Mountain International Church. And there are people that are going to come. And the more he said it, the more I slid down into my seat. But I'll tell you what, 2013, changes started happening. Ooh, changes started happening. And that spirit of increase, my vision just started getting bigger and bigger. And as we went into 2014, we began to see the move of God. We began to experience the move of God. And I remember the day I stood in that platform and at the pulpit at Eagle Mountain, and I gave them the story of the revival capital of the world. And I remember Terry sitting down in the front going, he said the words revival capital. He said, and after church, we're driving home. And she said, do you know what you said? I said, I know what I said. I said, revival capital. She said, even daddy's not saying it. Well, Well, Daddy's saying it now. And it was 2 years ago on the 23rd of November that the Lord told me to get up in front of my church and announce to them that the move of God that we've been believing for, the outpouring of the Spirit that we've been looking for, the awakening that's being prophesied over all of these years, it's here and it's now. It's right now. It has come. It has come. And I really do believe that this revival capital of the world that the Lord, and now we're talking, Kenneth and Gloria and Terry and I, we get into discussions about it, talking about it. When we go on the road sometimes, we take the revival capital of the world to the world. It's not like we're trying to make ourselves something. It's just something that God said. And I really do believe that for any pastor in this church or any minister in this congregation here right now, that same anointing, the anointing for increase, the anointing for the revival capital, the anointing for expansion, the anointing for the financial increase, the anointing for the supernatural ability within you to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. There's an impartation that's alive on the inside of me. The day of increase has come. All pastors and ministers, you line up here right now. You come up here right now. This thing is on me. It's on me so big. It's on me so big. You guys just line up here right now. Come on, everybody else, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. We'll pray over you in just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It's big. It's big. It's big what God has for us, all of us. It's huge. It's massive. It is a massive move of the Spirit of God. It's a massive anointing. Is everybody that's coming up here fivefold? Is that right? I mean, I'm going to pray for everybody, but really? Is that okay? Okay. All right. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. This is alive. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Where's David? Is David around? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as I lay hands on these precious ministers, I thank you for the anointing of increase, the spirit of increase to come upon them, that we do not think small anymore, but that, Lord, we think like you. We see like you. We operate like you in our churches, in our ministries, increase of the anointing. And Father, we receive this right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Those of you that are watching, if you're watching right now, I pray over every minister. Every minister who is watching us right now, the transmission of the spirit of increase, prosperity, enlargement, and multiplication is coming on you right now. You're hungry for this. You've been hungry for a move of God in your church. I'll tell you guys something. And I've talked about this in places before, to pastors before. I've talked about, because one of the biggest things that we'd faced, one of the biggest things that we'd gone through is the fact of people leaving our church. How difficult, how hard that was. I mean, that rejection. You do things for people. You pay their way. There is no amount of money, time, effort that you can give to somebody that will buy their loyalty. Not, it's not there. You can't expect that. You can't expect that. It happens. And it's happened to us. It's happened to us. But I'll tell you something, and I've been preaching about this and helping pastors for years, but I have finally come up with the answer. I got the answer. You want to know what the answer is? Have a move of God in your church. Just have a move of God. Even if you have to, by faith, get in front of your congregation and say, today's the day. We're having a move of God in this church. And it's something that's not against the will of God, because God wants it. He wants it. He wants signs and wonders and miracles. He wants the explosion of the power of God in our churches, in our services. He wants that. And my advice to you, I have gotten to the place where people now tell me such and so-and-so left and such and such left. And I'm like, but we got a move of God going in the church. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. You can't allow your emotional stability to be rooted in people. You just can't do it. We love people. We love people. That's what we do. But we don't own them. We don't own them. No. So your emotional stability, it's not rooted in people. It's rooted in the Word of God. It's rooted in the Word of God. And I'm telling you today, this move of God that has happened in our church, and I just go in on Sunday mornings. Sometimes I drive in drunk. I believe I'm not going to be pulled over. I will not be pulled over in Jesus' name. I'll get my designated driver wife to drive me if that's the case. But I do. I walk into church and I'm like, Lord, whatever you want to do in this place, however you want to do it, however you want to say it, however you want to operate, Lord, we just believe we receive it. We got 10,000 people. I drive in. I shout out the window, hello, revival capital of the world. Praise God. Preparing for those people coming. Hallelujah. And it's done a marvelous thing to my emotions. I am one happy pastor. I am. I'm a happy pastor. Do I look happy? I'm a happy pastor. I'm not carrying that anymore because the spirit of increase is all over me. And I know what we're called to do. And I know that there's a move of the Spirit of God that's going on. And that transmission is taking place right now. Receive. Receive in Jesus' name. Take hold of the power of the living God. That spirit of increase upon you. Anointings. Anointings increasing more and more and more. The power and the joy of the Lord. The joy of ministry. Restore unto them, O Lord, the joy. The joy of ministry. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Renee. Receive this anointing in Jesus' name. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.